In this next segment of Air Check, we're going to delve deeply into the mind of GT, host of Vintage Voltage, who knows too much about everything from the past.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic Mr. Entertainment. And I've got to tell you, you know how you think of Johnny Cash as the man in black?
Mm-hmm.
GT's the man in white.
GT, yeah, it was time for us to talk with GT. We gave GT an assignment just like we gave Dick Fairley earlier, who talked about jazz. Wanted GT to come up with some patriotic songs from the past because it's the 4th of July weekend, and we thought, GT's the man. So he came in with two variations on two songs about America. And it's interesting to hear him talk about these variations and what excites him. You get that when you hear him on his show, that he's a pretty excitable guy. But to really find out why that is, I think we may have to revisit GT again and try and dig a little deeper.
All right, let's take a listen to that interview, Jeff and our very own GT.
So it's the 4th of July, being patriotic, and today, GT, because you are who you are, You're kind of a pop geek, we're going to pick, now I understand you're going to pick two songs that have two variations each, correct?
You got it. Yeah, that's correct. One of the songs that I'm going to be playing is Simon and Garfunkel's version of America.
That's Frenemies, kind of like you and me. Right?
We're sort of KRCC's version of Simon and Garfunkel without the musicality.
Right.
We have our own musicality going here. It's a verbal kind of musicality.
So they are
music.
They are singing a song called America.
Right.
And then we're going to hear this same song again by someone else.
Yes. This song was recorded, or I should say this song was written originally by Paul Simon. He came up with the idea of it in 1964. Simon and Garfunkel had recorded their debut album in 1964 called Wednesday Morning 3 a.m. Then Paul Simon, the album, you know, was, they didn't know how it was going to do. Paul Simon goes back over to England in the meantime, where he's been playing folk clubs, and he's hanging with his girlfriend. Paul Simon got the idea for writing the song America when he and his girlfriend came back over to America from England to go ahead and touch base with producer Tom Wilson about the recording and the release of Wednesday Morning 3 a.m. So they drove around for 5 days on a road trip in 1964. When all the while he was supposed to be attending, you know, to the post-production of Wednesday Morning 3 a.m. So he's getting this idea for the song America, and then he completed the writing of it in 66.
So let's hear this song, and then we're going to hear the follow-up, different take on the song.
America, laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said be careful, his bow tie is really a camera.
So this is classic Simon and Garfunkel. Every American has heard this, and this is America.
Yeah. Well, the amazing thing about it, of course, is that not only have a lot of Americans heard it, but, you know, with their worldwide popularity, a lot of other folks around the world have heard the song America.
That's why we are.
That is particularly representative of Paul Simon's perception at the time of America. He's searching for America. He can't find it.
All right. So the second song, the remake of this is by...
The group Yes. English prog rock group Yes.
So we switch from this Americana folk duo, Simon and Garfunkel, to a prog rock group, an English prog rock group.
Yeah,
singing about America.
One of the things that distinguished Yes is they had so many different influences coming at them that they would incorporate into the recording and the compositions of their music. They would use classical stuff in there. They were influenced by the pop harmony group, the Fifth Dimension, early on. They would do Beatles covers. They'd do covers by the Byrds. So they were influenced by West Coast pop. They would incorporate classical motifs into this. So it's kind of interesting to listen to Yes's version and see what they do with this, as you were saying, kind of a, you know, more of a pop folk or a folk rock, as they were calling it, version at the time. Let's see what a Yes does with the Paul Simon composition, America.
I'm not hearing it. Where's America? Where's America in this?
It's coming. They have to get all their other influences, the things they wanted to incorporate in there out of the way in the meantime. Also, what's interesting about this is at one point, Chris Squire, the bass player, starts playing a little bit of a lick from Leonard Bernstein's song, America, which we're going to listen to a little bit later.
Oh, this is just a bad British bastardization of America.
See, da-da-da, search for America. We all came to search for America.
Are there any vocals in this song?
It's coming, yeah. You have to get the other guys to get their rocks off, though, first. Everybody will show off their chops.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together.
They lost me 3 minutes ago. Eject. Eject. All right. So, GT, what... Do you like this music? I see you playing
love
air
it.
Drums over there. I see you, you know.
Yeah, every minute.
You got
minute
your guitar face
now, granted,
on.
You know, a prog rock is a little bit of an acquired taste. It's very much a niche genre right now. But back in, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, really, you know, in Prague's Purple Patch, if you will, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these albums were topping the charts. These bands were hugely popular. But, yeah, prog rock probably peaked in popularity, you know, early 70s, definitely, you know, with a number of these groups, including the group that we're going to play also eventually called The Nice. There was a group called The Nice, formed in 1967, featured the late, great Keith Emerson. And Keith Emerson, of course, went to join the trio Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. They were formed in 1970. Yeah. And again, this was a group that was running neck and neck in popularity with Yes. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and Yes, you know, you can
Brits
see them
as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And what they're going to do is they do a version, what we're going to hear pretty soon here, is a version of the Leonard Bernstein, Stephen Sondheim composition, America, is originally featured in West Side Story. And they're going to do their version of it, and they're kind of give it the Yes treatment, except they're going to give it the, obviously, the Nice treatment.
Well, let's have a listen to the Broadway show tune, America.
I like the island Manhattan.
I know you don't
smoke on your pipe and put that in.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America.
For a small fee in America.
You know, Anita is the girlfriend of Bernardo, who's the head of the Sharks, the Puerto Rican American gang. Anita, you know, is very pro-American, but her girlfriends are very con-American, if you will. So they're debating the merits and the demerits of being in America and having come to America accordingly.
12 in a room in America.
Lots of new housing with more space.
Lots of doors slamming in our face.
I'll get a terrace apartment.
Better get rid of your accent.
Life can be better. All right, so that's the Leonard Bernstein version of America from West Side Story. Kind of a double-edged sword in that song about our beloved U.S. of A. Now let's check out a version of the same song by the British prog group The Nice.
This was The Nice's second single, released in 1968.
And how did it do in America?
It did a whole heck of a lot over here. Kind of like when Yes started out, they were very much a cult band. And it was the way they recorded it was very controversial as well, the way they presented it, because Keith Emerson at one point ended up burning the American flag. It was intended ironically. And especially in 1968, look at all the civil unrest you have going on in 1968. So when they recorded this, it was intended just as much a tribute to the song as it was presented with their own particular perspective, which was kind of an anti-American perspective in a way. Again, you know, you had Keith Emerson burning the flag at one particular concert. There's that incurred a lot of controversy, naturally enough.
So there we go. There's the Nice, their version of America. GT, let me ask you this. What is your interest in this? You're spanning a lot of different genres here. You are putting a song under a microscope. Where are you getting this information? How long have you been reading fanzines to find out these amazing details? Where are you getting this?
Since Moses was a boy, Jeff, it's been a long time since then. But, you know, one of the things I find that's really sort of interesting and informative, if you will, about comparing these songs, it's a good way to be able to define these genres. Let's go ahead and we'll play some standard pop in the way of West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play the Broadway version. How best to describe to somebody what progressive pop is all about, what prog rock is all about. Let's play you a prog rock version of that very same song you heard in a more standardized pop version originally, and that way then you can compare the two. You have some kind of a basis instead of just playing somebody out a prog rock song flat out.
Do you subscribe to some sort of weird pulp pop magazine? Is there something that you're still kind of ingesting about the 60s, 70s? Are you still reading this? Are you still
studying? Yeah, I was kind of keep up on it. These days, you know, in the digital age, if you will, you know, and in this age of mass media information, it's not, you don't necessarily have to result to any kind of a cultish fanzine anymore. You know what I mean? It's kind of all there. Now, back in the day we did, especially if you had particular interests, like anybody who's interested in one particular thing, especially if it has a cult following, you know, you're going to tend to steer yourselves towards those specialty type magazines. But these days, you don't even necessarily have to go out and look for that kind of thing. And it's always kind of a trade-off, you know, because back in the day, of course, there was a fun sensibility about it, if you will, in that you were able to seek out stuff, you know, and find something that nobody else had. And these days, you know, you can just go ahead and pull it up like that.
You just sit down at your computer.
Right. But it's nice and convenient as well. You don't have to scrounge around for a whole bunch of different things.
We end it with that. GT, thanks for
thank you so much for having
me. Sharing your psyche with us here on Air Check.
That was Jeff Beery talking to GT, host of Vintage Voltage. You can catch him Saturday evenings here on KRCC. You're listening to Air Check.